If you will, turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. The main emphasis in our passage of Scripture today is the fear of the Lord. For the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Listen to that once again. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. May we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you today that we can come into your house and just worship you. Lord, let us just put everything that might be on our mind aside right now and focus upon your word and what your word says to our heart. That we open up our heart that you might give us the instruction this morning. Let us hear what you'd have for us to hear. And God will give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. There's two classes of people in this passage of Scripture. Those who fear the Lord and the fools who do not fear God. People who are wise. People who are wise, I believe the Bible says we have a proper view of God. You see, our view of God depends a lot on how we live our lives and what we think about God. And we need in our lives today a proper view of God. To learn how to worship God, we need a proper view of God. A.W. Tozer says, to know God is to fear God. I love that song, I Stand Amazed in the Presence. And I love that song, we bow down to worship him before him. God said in Deuteronomy 5:29, oh, that their hearts would be inclined to fear me and to keep my commandments so it might go well with them. Now, when we think about fear, we think about being scared. Well, God doesn't want us to be scared of it. That word fear means that we reverence God. The reverence of the Lord, or the fear, it says here, the reverence of God is the beginning of knowledge. It also means respect, the respect of God. Now, when we respect someone, we treat them in a very well way, that we put them up front in respect. Well, that's what the word fear means, to reverence or respect God with all our hearts. That is the beginning of knowledge. But those who do not respect God, those who do not reverence God, the Bible says, despise wisdom and instruction of God. Philippians 2:12 says we're to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. And a lot of people begin to think, well, if we have to work out our salvation, that means we have to work in order to get our salvation. That's not what the passage of Scripture means at all. The Bible says we need to reverence God in our heart, that we respect Him in such a way that we live out our salvation before the world, that we will show reverence and honor and respect to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, when it says to tremble in the Lord's presence, that means give God the place He deserves in our lives. You see, Jesus Christ is King. He is Lord of creation, Lord of everything. He's in control. He's in control of all the earth. He's the Almighty God, everlasting Father. The seraphim said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. He is awesome. He's an awesome God, and the Bible says He is to be reverenced. He is to be respected. And folks, to truly reverence the Lord is to know who He really is and who He is in my life and who He is in your life today. And we ought to reverence God. And the Bible says the reverence of God, or the fear of God, is the beginning, very beginning of all wisdom. And when we have the reverence of God in our life and we respect God, let me tell you something. You will be a happy Christian. The reason today in our society that people are not happy in Christ is that they don't really know who He is in their life. They don't respect Him. They don't reverence Him like they should in their life. And they don't know the joy of salvation. They don't know that their life should be filled with kindness and goodness and happiness and those things. They live their life like, well, God is up there, and if I don't walk just according to His will in everything, He's going to reach down there and zap me. Because they think their view of God is that He's a judge up there looking down and beating us into submission. And when we have that kind of view of God and we believe that God is a judge, then when something comes along that's tragic in our life, guess what we do? We say, well, God doesn't love me. He's punishing me. And we see it as punishment. But when we view God as a holy God who loves His children, who, you know what? He loves us so much that He sent His Son to die for us. All He wants is the best for His children. All He wants is the blessing. And when we know God like that, and we respect God like that, and we love God like that, then when something tragic happens in our life, and it will happen in our life, we don't look at God as someone who judges me for this. We look at Him as a Father who loves us, and He wants the best for us, and we try to please Him with our life, and we know in our life that, yes, the Bible says that all things work together for good of them that love God and are called according to His purpose, and we know God is trying to guide us in a direction in our life, and that when we come through this tragedy, when we come through that fire in our life, we'll come through as a stronger Christian. And we see it as God's blessings upon our life. And A.W. Tozer says there's a direct response to how we put our faith and see who God really is in our life. This Bible scripture right here says that, one, the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. You see, it says to me that we have a responsibility in our life. There's a lot of talk today in our political realm about family values. I'm not talking about politics today, so you don't have to worry about that. I'm never going to talk about politics. The pulpit's not a place for politics. The pulpit's a place for the Word of God. But there's a lot of talk in the political realm about value in society. If we are responsible as Christians, as a family unit, we live our families according to the fear of God or the reverence of God or the respect of God, I believe you'll live your life as a family and you will guide your family. As husbands, we ought to guide our family. The Bible tells us that. We heard Brother Jared last week talk about that. You know, our young people today, they're not the problem. The problem is the families and the husbands and the wives are not living according to God's Word. And instead of looking to the Father for that guidance and support and strength in their life, they're having to look to the world. And the world will always drag our children away. You see? The trouble is in the family today that we do not reverence and fear God and respect God like we should. You know, because of lack of responsibility as family units and as Christian believers, we're paying a tremendous price today in our churches. We're paying a tremendous price in our society. Christians must be willing to pay the price of discipleship. And that means as a father, I'm a father, grandfather, that means we are to live our lives with respect to God. That's the beginning of knowledge. We're to live our lives in reverence to God. That's the beginning of knowledge. And we must train our families, we must train our children to know who God is in their life and to trust Him. And if all they see is you as the head of your house or you as a Christian living in the world on the weekdays and only on Sundays appearing to be a Christian, folks, no wonder we're in a sad state we are. If you are the leader of your house, if you are a teacher in your class, or a teacher at the school, or a teacher of some sort, or if you're in the choir, you have a responsibility. As a deacon, you have a responsibility. As a member, you have a responsibility. And that's what the Bible says here. The beginning of the fear of the Lord is the responsibility of knowledge in your life. But oh, how we suffer today because we're not willing to be responsible Christians in our life. We do everything we want to do, and we expect God to bless us, but the Bible says it doesn't work that way. We don't get to do everything we want to do. You know what? When I became a Christian, I surrendered to God. I didn't just surrender just in word only. I surrendered my life. My will is not mine anymore, it's God's will. I should follow God's will with my life. And if you're doing what God wills for your life, you're going to find joy of the Christian life. You're going to find the knowledge that He wants you to have. And He's going to find you faithful in your daily walk with God. Listen, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 4, moreover, it's required assurance that one be found faithful. Let me ask you a question this morning with all seriousness. Are you faithful to God? Just think about that. Are you faithful to God? I don't mean just on Sunday morning. I don't mean in Bible study. I mean every day of your life. Are you being faithful to God? That's an important question. Well, the Bible says the beginning of the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. What we need is that responsibility in our life that comes from the fear and the respect and the reverence of the Lord. But the scripture also says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Knowledge. Not only do we have a responsibility of knowing God and living for God and pleasing God with our life, but we have a responsibility of the knowledge of God. Now, I find all through our churches, all through our people, that as Christians, we don't know a whole lot about the Word of God. And that's sad, isn't it? To go through life and not know a whole lot about the Word of God. Well, how do you know the Word of God? 2 Timothy 2:15 says this, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, there's two kinds of people there. Those who know nothing about the Word of God, and those who know but are not practicing it. Those who know nothing about the Word of God, and those who are in church who are not practicing the Word of God. They know the Word of God, they've heard the Word of God, but they're not practicing the Word of God. Well, friends, knowledge, where does it come from? It comes from God. The Bible says in James, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives it to all men. Now, we know that God will give us wisdom, and we know that in the Word of God, it tells us we need to worship Him and reverence Him and put Him first in our life. It tells us in the Word of God that He wants us to do His will. But we have to know God's will for our life to do God's will. So how do we know that? Well, it's not just going to fall out of the sky and hit you on the head one morning. You have to study the Word of God. That's what the Word of God says. It says, study to show thyself approved, a workman that needs not be ashamed. Now, if you're using your knowledge just to show maybe how smart you are and you're not putting it into practice, well, you're using it for the wrong reason. He says, study to show thyself to prove a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing. That simply means rightly teaching others. Folks, what we need in our Christian endeavor, what we need in our Christian lives here is to be a mentor to others, to train others, help them grow up in the Christian faith. When you see a new believer come to Christ, you can't expect him to know everything in the Bible. The Bible doesn't say you've got to know everything in it before you get saved. If it was, I wouldn't be saved today. The Bible says you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior by faith. That's simple childlike faith. You come to him realizing you need a Savior. He is the Savior. He died for you. He rose again, and one day he's coming back. And folks, we need to share that knowledge that we have with those children who have come to faith in Jesus Christ, that they might grow, that they might learn. Folks, we need to say, the Bible says that we need to be approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. We need a knowledge of the Word of God that drives us inside to accept the responsibility that we have as Christians to learn the Word of God. Paul says, knowing the terror of the Lord, knowing the judgment that this world's facing, knowing what's coming about, he says, knowing the terror of the Lord, we are constantly to persuade men to come to him, come to Jesus Christ. Why? He's the only way of salvation. That's our life. An innocent man was convicted of a crime not long back. I heard it on television. He was there for 20 years. Can you imagine being put in prison for 20 years for a crime that you did not do? He was put there 20 years for a crime that he did not do. And finally, someone, the man who had committed the crime, 20 years later spoke up and said, he's an innocent man, it was me. I've lived for 20 years, and I haven't told the truth. They let that man go. And friends, I want you to know, my first thought was that man, I wanted to criticize that man and said, how in the world could you do that? You've wasted 20 years of a precious man's life serving for a crime that you have done. And then I thought, oh, but if I know God is coming back, and I know the judgment that the lost are facing, what about me for not telling someone about Jesus Christ? What about me for not using the knowledge I have of who God is and my responsibility that I know that God wants me to tell others about Jesus Christ? What about me? What about this church? If we don't go out and share the gospel, we suppress the truth of God that sends people to a lost devil's hell for all eternity. What about us, folks? Are we just about it? We're worse than that man who suppressed the truth. You see, we sentence people every day to a Christless eternity simply because in our life we do not reverence God enough. We do not respect God's word enough to go tell someone about Jesus Christ. We're not responsible, because I've heard this over and over. Well, preacher, I just didn't know. Why? Why do we not know when we have the Bible, when we have all the study courses that we offer, all the classes that we offer? Why do we not know the Word of God to share our testimony with a lost person that's dying and go to hell? And we call them friends. They're not friends if we let them go. Folks, why? It's because in our life, the Bible says, I don't believe we have a fear of the Lord like we should. We don't have a respect or reverence from the Lord like we should. Well, the Bible says we are responsible, and with responsibility comes knowledge. Not only responsibility comes knowledge, the Bible says it becomes blessings. In Proverbs 107, I love this passage of Scripture. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. How many of you have been redeemed? Don't raise your hand. I don't want to embarrass anybody around you or anything, but you know, how many of you have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ? When I say redeemed by the blood, I mean you've been bought back. You were lost, you were dying, you're on your way to hell, but Jesus Christ, by His precious blood, has redeemed you. He's bought you back. Now you're on the way to heaven. You have room to shout. You have glory to shout. I think of a passage of Scripture I love. I've preached on it so many times, and I'll probably preach on it several more before my days are gone if I can. It's in Kings. It's about the four lepers. They're sitting outside of the Samaritan gate of Samaria there, and they're starving to death. You know the story, don't you? I'm not sure I take for granted everybody knows the Bible stories, but they don't. But these four lepers are sitting outside the gate. It's so bad inside, they're eating dove's dung and their donkey's head for food. And people are starving to death. And all these four lepers are getting is the scraps that are thrown out over the gate. Well, you can imagine there's no scraps, folks. They're starving to death. And they're sitting there, and one of them has an idea. He says, you know what? Why don't we go out to the Syrian camp? The Syrian army is all around Samaria. They're there and they're camped around, and they said, the worst they can do is kill us. We're going to die here anyhow. Makes logic sense, don't it? Perhaps by some chance, you know, us being lepers, they'll just give us some food to get us away from them. That's what I would be thinking. So they say, hey, you know, let's go. And so they get up and go. And when they get there, guess what? God has caused the Syrian army to scatter. Man, I tell you what, these lepers have all the food they want. They're just sitting there. They're eating. They're filling themselves full. They've got everything. At that time, they're probably the wealthiest four guys around because they've got food, and Samaria is shut in, starving. They're sitting there, and you know, one of them says, you know, we do not well if we just sit here and eat all this food while people are starving inside the gate. Now, wait just a minute. These are four lepers that were outcast. These four lepers, they only got the scraps that somebody threw over to them. Let me tell you something. Even if the Samaritans was eating good inside the city, they wouldn't have really helped these lepers out too much, for they were outcast. But you know what? In their condition, they said, you know, we don't do well sitting out here while people are starving to death. Perhaps if we don't share, God's going to cause something to happen to us. And you know what? They carried their knowledge. Ask yourself something. You reckon they had a reverence for God in their life? I think they did, because they thought in themselves, we do not well. Perhaps if we sit here, God's going to cause something to happen to us. They had a knowledge of God in their life. And they had a respect of God in such a way that they were compelled to share their blessings with someone. Folks, that's what Paul said. I am a debtor. That's our life. I'm a debtor. I can't sit here and not tell somebody about Jesus Christ. I can't stay still without hurting for the lost people that are out there in the world. And here we sit today, with all the blessings, lights, sound, air conditioning, comfortable pews. Man, If you don't believe we're blessed, you ought to go to Africa. I encourage every one of you to go to Africa. Go out to Kenya and sit on the in the brush and see how those people sit on a log or on their ankles all day long to hear the Word of God. And you'll come back and you'll say, hey, you know, we have been blessed. Man, we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in high places, the Bible says. We've been blessed here with the joy of salvation in our life. We've got the hope of the resurrection. Man, I don't know, but when you read that verse of Scripture, that's one of my favorite verses of Scripture where it says in Titus, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing. I know one day the clouds are going to split wide open. Christ is going to call us home, folks. I'm looking for that blessed day. And I'm looking for the glorious appearing as Jesus Christ himself. But you know what? We've got the resurrection, and I've got peace that passes all understanding for eternity. I know in my Father's house there's a mansion there for me. And it doesn't matter. Some say it's a room, and some of the translations, I don't care if it's just a hut. I'm going to be happy because I'm in heaven with God. You see, I can be happy any place as long as God is there. And we do not well if we sit here today in our ivory palaces while people are dying and going to hell all around us. We have a responsibility in our life. We have the knowledge of God. And we've had the blessings of God in our life. And the Bible says, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. See, with responsibility comes knowledge. With responsibility comes blessing. Not only that, responsibility also comes commission. Now listen to me. Jesus says, go ye therefore into all nations and teach them, baptizing them in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Every one of us today who have been saved is given this command. You're given a command to be a soul winner for Jesus Christ. You're given a command to bear fruit for Jesus Christ. We have a responsibility to Christ to do what he's told us to do. I can remember when I was at home, Dad would tell me to do something. And if I didn't do it, decided not to do it, I found myself in a heap of trouble. You know, the fear of my dad caused me to reverence him, caused me to respect him, and I still respect him. My father's dead and gone on now to be with God, but I still respect him. I believe if I do something that's not pleasing to God, not pleasing to him, I could almost hear him say from heaven, Mooney, I taught you better than that. You know better than that. Christ did not say, folks, if we choose to obey his commands, he said, go. Go make disciples. He said, go. Folks, we must never stop. We must never give up. Gwen said this morning, she said, Pastor, you seen this? I'm telling you a minute, Gwen. She said, you see this in the paper? And I said, no, I haven't. She said, this church is starting a mission. I thought about that, and I thought, Lord, I wonder if our people doesn't know what you've blessed us with. And I sat there in my office just a moment. And I don't want to say this braggingly, but God has blessed us. Folks, with this church started, since this church has started, I counted 17 ministries that we've been a part of. 17 ministries. Over 9 ministers and called out from this church, and I believe more on the way. 535 salvations. That's not a whole lot. But that's not counting all the people around the world that we've influenced to come to Jesus Christ. That's 29 salvations a year in this church alone. It's nothing to brag about, but I thank God for every one of those salvations. Folks, I thank God for every one of those nine ministers that he's called out or preaching the word or missionaries. I thank God for those 17 missions that we support or have supported that are doing well enough today that we don't have to support them. You know, I don't know if you knew that or not. You see, but those things do happen in this church. You don't hear me say a lot about them, and if you don't, or if you're not faithful on Wednesday night to come, and even if you do, sometimes you don't know that we do these kind of things, but those are churches out there that this church has given to and supported and are carrying on the Great Commission through those churches. But you know what? It doesn't stop there. That's just the cream off the top. Folks, we must never stop doing that. For the Bible says in Proverbs, I love Proverbs, he that winneth souls is wise. And folks, we need to be wise people. We need to win souls. R.A. Torrey also said this, what right does a man have to call himself a follower of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ if he isn't a soul winner? What right do we have to call ourselves Christians if we don't take the commission of our Lord and Savior in a responsible, knowledgeable way to those who are lost? If you're here this morning and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, this is what you need to understand. That one, you are lost without Christ. You're on your way to a Christless eternity. You are, the Bible says, under the condemnation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And if you die without Christ, you will spend an eternity lost. The Bible says hell. Some people don't like that word anymore because they say it's unpleasant. Well, it is an unpleasant place, and I don't want you to go there. The Lord doesn't want you to go there, and he doesn't want to send you there. It's only because you do not trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior that you will go there. You will reject his Spirit calling you. God the Father came in creation. God his Son came. And now you have the Holy Spirit to convict you of your lostness. When you feel that conviction of the Holy Spirit that you need a Savior, you need to do something about it. You need to come to Jesus Christ. For the Bible says, if you reject the Holy Spirit, there is no other. You see? That is a sin that won't be forgiven. That is all. But if you recognize your lostness, you need a Savior, all you have to do this morning is just like a little child, is to come and say, I want Jesus Christ. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He will save you by faith. The moment you step out and start, he will save you. He will give you his Spirit. The Bible says he seals you with his Spirit. That means you're sealed until the day of redemption when he comes back to purchase you back. Man, wouldn't you like to hear the sound of the trumpet this morning? I would, but some of you wouldn't because you've never made that decision. But you can leave here today knowing in your heart that when God comes back, you will have eternal security in your life. You'll have salvation. Now, some of you are already believers. You know the Word of God, but you know what? You're not respecting or reverencing God like you should. You're not doing what he asked you to do. To know God is the beginning of knowledge. Folks, we need to do what God asks us to do in his word. And if we know God and we know that we're not respecting Him, we know that we're not reverencing Him with our lives, we're not living in a pleasing way, we need to just come and get on our knees before God and say, Lord, I've failed You. I have failed You. And let me tell you something. I'll be the first to join you on your knees because I have failed God. But I know He loves me. And the Bible says if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. I'm so glad it's Him that's faithful, not me, because I'm not faithful like He is. And I'm not judging you. Only God can do that. I don't care what you've done. You need to come to Jesus and get your life right with Him, whether you're lost or whether you're saved. This morning, if you're here and you're looking for a church home, man, I can think of I don't think of a better church in the United States than one right here where God is working, God is blessing every day. We see the blessings of God. If you want to come and be a part of that, would you come this morning? I'll be glad to share with you how you can join this fellowship. The invitation is open to you. Would you come? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You today for Your Word. God, Your Word is that beginning of knowledge. And Heavenly Father, I pray for the lost that might be here today. I pray for those who are saved and just need to get their life right. And I pray, Lord, for our visitors, if they're looking for a church home, that this might be the place they come and join in with the fellowship, that we might reach this world for Jesus Christ. We give You the glory, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Would you come as we stand?